Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
We did celebrate the summer solstice this week, which is the longest day of the year, and I'm joined now by Deirdre Wadding, a pagan high priestess. Good morning, Deirdre.
Morning, Brendan.
Will you give me a crash course first in what the solstice means to you?
Okay, well, for me, the solstice, it's one of the eight really important, significant festival days or stopping points on what we call the wheel of the year. So in Irish tradition, we always start from the dark moving into the light. So our wheel of the year starts at Samhain. We move through the dark, that time of gathering in, through the winter solstice. All right. So really, at this time of greatest light, we are celebrating life force. We are celebrating the peak of brightness. But almost conversely, at that very time, is the slow, slow, gradual movement back towards the dark half of the year. So it's a time of celebration. It's a time of looking at what might want to come into the light or what needs to come into the light at this time. It's a time of healing. And for me personally, it's a time of devotion and honouring the goddess Ainne, who's very strongly associated with County Limerick, down around Loch Gur and Knockainey, which is Cnoc Ainne, of course, Ainne's Hill. Okay. She has a very powerful story. And
Do you worship all a lot of goddesses? Worship
kind of has other associations for me.
Okay.
I would say being a pagan means essentially being a polytheist. But more than that, it's an animist. You know, it's like spirit in all things, spirit in all life, in the trees, in the waters, in the sea, and so on. And to me, I can't speak for all pagans, that is sort of looking at these gods and goddesses of our ancestors as sort of emanations of the creative force, emanations or aspects or representations of, let's say, the divine or the sacred energy that is a unity. Now, we might say that's that sacred energy within all of us or the collective life force of all humanity, of all life, of the whole planet. But I believe that our ancestors, and this goes across Indigenous cultures right across the world, found a way to kind of anthropomorphize that energy and so relate to it on a level where we almost humanized. We see it in the Greek myths as well. So in our myths of the Tuatha Dé Danann, for instance, we have different personalities, we have different characters within these gods and goddesses.
But representing aspects of the spirit and kind of thing.
I would see it that way.
This is a real Father Ted thing to say now, but why did you become a pagan?
Right. Well, I could be really flippant and say the Catholic Church made me a pagan, but that's not too far off the mark. I think, always a spiritual being. I mean, as a small child, being brought up Catholic, like the vast majority of people in this country, I took it deadly seriously. You know, I would get very upset on Good Friday over the crucifixion of Jesus, and I had a great strong relationship with my guardian angel, who I would ask for the answer to sums, like in primary school and that sort of thing. But when I was 18, I got pregnant for the first time. And very Catholic family, especially my mother, got banished off to Bessborough Convent. And on a total aside, tomorrow, for the first time in 42 years, I am returning to Bessborough to speak at a memorial event. So that's going to be
a personal
challenge. Yeah. But yeah, obviously the experience of banishment, of sort of having that shame and guilt kind of internalized, the loss, the separation, the grief. No counselling, of course, in those days. It was 1981. Just through my own, what would you call it, response to that, absolutely off the wall, but in a very hidden way, I had a second pregnancy and I took myself off to Dunboyne. So by the time I was 20, I was going, this is not the place for me. This Catholic Church, you know, is not somewhere where I have a home, and began the search for meaning. And my first encounter, it was really hard to find pagan stuff, you know, in the early 80s in Ireland. My first encounter was with my very good friend, Barbara Lee, who I believe passed my name on to yourself. Barbara was, I think, 23 at the time and running her first Wiccan coven. And I was 21. And I was like, who does this one think she is now, being the high priestess? You're only a couple of years older than me.
Yeah.
But learned an awful lot from it. And yet it wasn't quite enough of our own Indigenous land for me. So I went all the way around the houses, came across what was called at the time Celtic shamanism, which is a term we kind of maybe wouldn't use now, maybe more animism. And eventually, after various tangents, including being a county councillor, I set up a school of Irish spirituality, which is called Cura Sush School of Irish Spirituality. It means cauldron of knowledge, but gives me a nice little acronym for School of Irish Spirituality, based down in my home in Kilran, County Wexford.
You and see, people are listening to you now thinking, she sounds like a very sensible kind of a woman.
Well,
and it does seem a bit odd then that you're a pagan. So, like, in the day-to-day life, how does being a pagan and a high priestess kind of manifest?
It's just part of who I am. I mean, it's not like going to Mass on a Sunday. It's like everything. I go out in the morning with my cup of coffee and I sit, you know, and especially in this weather we've been having, I'll sit with my feet on the grass. I'll just listen to the birds. I look at the trees in my garden. I will feel a connection with that. I will feel a spiritual connection. I go to the sea and I connect with Manannán Mac Léir. You know,
yeah.
And I watch the waves coming in and the waves going out, and I'll do a prayer for let the waves ebbing away carry all that I do not need, all that doesn't serve me. Let the waves coming in carry in the blessings, carry in what I need, and name those things, you know. And these are the kinds of things I do with my students.
You see, I think a lot of people will have versions of that kind of thing in their own life.
Yes, and people may not call themselves pagans.
Yeah.
And look, if you look at folklore in Ireland, like today is St. John's, the Feast of St. John, yesterday St. John's Eve. That's the Christianized version of the summer solstice, the bonfires on St. John's Eve. And I remember them from growing up. So a lot of these things were so significant to our ancestors, to the people in generations before us. They got slotted in with this sort of veneer of Christianity on the top. But when you scratch the surface, like, they're not too far beneath. They're kind of in us. They're in our psyche, you know.
And then becoming a high priestess, do you have to train under another high priestess, or how does that?
Yeah, I don't call myself a high priestess. I mean, other people will attribute that title to me. I am a priestess.
Okay.
So to me, you could, like, if we use our Irish language, which for me is a very important part of this practice, is to actually use the language as well. So it's about the mythology. It's about the land, it's about the energy in all life around us. It is also about the language. So a Ban Fasa, which meant a wise woman, or a Ban Dri, a woman of magic, or a druid. So essentially what I do is pretty much druidry, and I am a member of a druid grove in Kilkenny. I'm also a priestess in a kind of multi-faith, very eclectic organization called the Fellowship of the Goddess Isis, which is based in Clonegal, just near Bunclody, just outside the borders of Wexford and County Carlow. And I would have been ordained as a priestess there. A lot of it for me is the experience I've built up over 40 years now at this stage. And there came a point...
A kind of a wise woman, is that?
I suppose, you know, some people would say a witch. I don't use that term for myself. I don't call myself a shaman, a witch, a high priestess. I would call myself, I suppose, a woman of the land. A priestess, that. What that means, as opposed to someone who just says, I'm pagan, my spirituality is connected with the earth. It is about, as a priestess, it's a vocational calling to be a mediator of that energy, to like share it out into the community, to represent the energy of the ancient gods, of the goddess in particular for us as women. So I train women to become priestesses, women who have that vocational call.
Okay. What do people make of it, people who are non-pagans, when you tell them you're pagan? And
it varies hugely. I remember years and years ago, I was working in a health food shop part time, and occasionally myself and the girls would go to the pub on the corner. There used to be a guy in there, and the minute I'd come in the door, he'd go, it's the high priestess. What's the moon doing, eh? What's the moon doing? So you get that. It's kind of, she might be a bit wacky, but she's kind of one of her own, you know?
Yeah.
You'll get the people, especially very Christian people, who and not all who will go, oh, it's all evil, like, and it's not God, and the only people who can kind of give blessings are, you know, priests, or Jesus is the only one who can give blessings. Okay, that's what they believe in. I respect all beliefs. Don't respect the institution. Let me say that very clearly. Not one bit. I think it's a total evil empire. And if it was a corporation, it would be shut down.
Okay, but, and look, different people that's have whole different other, views on
different
that.
People yeah. have different views.
Come here, we've less than a minute left. Is the whole pagan thing less of a kind of a patriarchy than maybe some religions?
Oh, yes.
It's more of a feminocracy,
oh, yes,
is it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It is about the divine feminine. Now, it is about the balancing of divine feminine, sacred masculine. And can I just say on this day, which is Pride, it's very important that that language of... Because we get all this stuff about the sacred union and, you know, the May Queen and blah, blah, blah. It's very binary language. In this time that we're in, I think it's really important we understand that sacred masculine, sacred feminine resides within each individual. So that sacred union can be totally, regardless of gender, that balance in the self meets that balance in another.
Deirdre Wadding, pagan high priestess and founder of the School of Irish Spirituality. Thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
And Deirdre, you of all people will understand that now we're going to pause for the Angelus.